In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby.
Ah, yes, indeed. It is time to talk movies and more as Alan Adams of The Main Edge joins us for Pass the Popcorn. Hello there, Al.
Hello there, sir. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you this Monday afternoon?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. I'm doing okay.
I'm glad to hear that. But we'll let people behind the curtain a little bit. It was so fun. I didn't know how much I needed it until we did it. The whole focus group got together Friday night. We had a little Zoom meeting, and man, that was a blast.
It was pretty crazy, right? Like, it's one of those things that this whole situation has sort of thrown into focus for me is I've never really considered myself to be a particularly, like, social person, I guess. But then something like this reminds me that literally everything I do that's not work or home is social in terms of, like, the things I like, you know, my avocations, my hobbies, all these things. They all involve being around other people. And to sort of have that just sort of just go away with, like, instantly, practically, it was just it's just been kind of interesting. And to have an opportunity to sort of see all these people who I've grown accustomed to seeing on the regular. Like, I mean, it's not like these are people that I only see occasionally. It's like weekly, you know, that these are people that I spend time with. And to just have that disappear for a month, it was just like, it was just really refreshing to just, I don't know, just to see everyone's face and hear everybody's voice. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, you can comment on stuff on social media, you can text or things like that, but it's not the same as seeing everybody and realizing that, yeah, you missed that connection more than you knew.
Yeah, yeah. But, no, it was great. I know that it was tricky for some folks, you and Abby included, as far as making sure that the little ones were safely ensconced before all that went down. But everyone really went above and beyond to make it happen. So it was really great to see everyone.
Well, mostly in our situation, it's, you know, we want to be the ones who teach him all the dirty words, not you guys.
Right. Yeah, no, you don't need a child in the room for when some of the stuff is going on, for sure.
Also today, as you know, we crowned a new Downtown Madness champion. Your year at the top has ended, but you, as we said earlier, you were a credit to the Downtown team in your year as champion.
Well, thank you very much. If I'm gonna hand the belt to anybody, handing it to Stephen Tobolowsky is pretty good, you know. Like, that's certainly a worthy successor, and God knows he knows how to handle the weight and pressures of being the Downtown champion, because you know, he's done it before.
I was surprised, and I don't think he was kidding. He was talking about being so stressed out that he had a hard time looking each time a new round came up because he was worried about it.
That's really, I mean, that's funny, you know. But it's just like, you know, it was just someone like that who just genuinely you can tell he just genuinely enjoys being included.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where it's like, of course he wants to win. Like, we all want to win. Like, you know, we can all pretend like it's like, oh, it's not a big deal. Of course we want to win. Like, it's there's something to be won. We want to win it. Like,
yes.
That's just how it works. But, well, you know, I will say that I spent a little bit of time curled up in the corner of my study, where, you know, crying, wearing nothing but my sash.
Can't get that image out of my head.
I've calmed myself, and I put on pants, and I'm feeling much better about this.
I'm glad to hear that. And Carrie and I have resolved that, you know, we've talked about it for years, but now we need to get a couple of things. We want to get a plaque that we can put in here that has all of the winners, so people can see when we're back to having people come in the studio, that we'll have all the winners up there. And then even retroactively, we've got to come up with something, some lasting piece of the show that all of our winners can have going forward, so you can be proudly identified as a Downtown Madness champion.
Oh, I think that's a phenomenal idea, and not just because it would involve me getting something.
Right. Key is going to be able to get Tobo and Cranston and O'Hurley here with the rest of you guys when we all do the group tattoo.
Oh, well, sure. And I have some design suggestions. We'll talk about that off air.
I look forward to that. All right, let's talk movies. You saw a couple of streaming films over your weekend or so.
Yeah, I We'll start. I saw a movie through Amazon Prime Video called Sela and the Spades, which it's a high school teen drama kind of thing, and I love a movie set in a high school. But one of the things that I've noticed over the years is, you have teen comedies and you have teen dramas. And when they're set in a high school, I find that the comedies tend to be much more oriented around the sort of public school type experience. You venture more into that sort of prep school, boarding school kind of place. This one is very much drama, and it's very much at a prep school. I got to say, it's written and directed by a first-time feature filmmaker, a woman by the name of Tyresha Poe, and it's really good, Rich. Like, I'm not sure if it's for everybody, but it has the way I've been describing it is it's basically high school. It's got a high school noir kind of feeling. Like, it's almost like a blend of like teen movie and like gangster film. Because the basic gist is the titular Sela, played beautifully by a young woman named Lovie Simone. She's a student at this place called Haldwell Academy, and it's like this hallowed, ivy walled, et cetera, prep school in Pennsylvania. But at this prep school, the school is basically run by this group of sort of five cliques. They call themselves factions. And Sela is in charge of the Spades from the title, which is one of those factions. They're these cliques basically control all the illicit activity that goes on behind the scenes at this prep school. You know, like drugs and cheating and keeping the administration in the dark. Like, they all have these different sort of duties that are assigned among the various factions, and they have like leaders who have like meetings and they sign treaties, and there's a wonderful, like a weird little sort of Godfather-esque vibe to it in places. That's a lot of fun. But as you know, when someone gets in over their head, in this sort of activity, things can go wrong very quickly. And, that happens here, when Sela takes a young sophomore named Paloma, played by Celeste O'Connor, under her wing, as a potential successor for Sela when she graduates in the spring. But then it turns out things go off the rails pretty significantly in a number of different ways that I'm not going to go into too much detail about, because if people want to watch the film, being surprised, I think, because I was surprised, I knew very little about the film going in. I feel like not knowing is particularly beneficial with a movie like this. It's really wonderful. It presents high school in that sort of cinematic way where it's like a sort of battleground kind of, but it's very stylish, very stylized, kind of like a candy coated gangster movie. Like, it basically renders these cliques as crime families, but it's not like a wink, wink, nudge, nudge, elbow in the ribs kind of thing. It's all treated very seriously, like without irony and all that. So that's got this really wonderful noir vibe to it. I don't know if you're familiar with the Rian Johnson movie Brick. That sort of high school noir movie starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt from a few years back. This movie is kind of like a blend of that film and Mean Girls.
Interesting.
There are moments that are funny, but it's definitely not a comedy. But it's all treated very sincerely, and that sincerity makes the sort of there's a sense of hyper articulation. Like, the dialogue is very fast moving and very very like densely written, densely packed, and the situations are too. But it all seems to work, and again, it all comes back to the filmmaker trusting in the script and trusting in the actors, because it's got a fantastic cast. It's just packed with incredibly talented young actors and actresses that are just across the board excellent. Very few familiar faces. Like, I didn't recognize a ton of the performers, but everyone really is was really performing well. And so what you get is this great transposition of high school and crime movie, and it really kind of like fully occupies the overlap in that Venn diagram, which, let's be honest, isn't as small as maybe people would like to think it is. But it's sharp, it's smart, and it's pretty sophisticated, especially when you consider that it's Poe's first feature.
Excellent.
So if you're into that sort of film, like, you should really check it out.
I will do that. And then looking forward to hearing what you thought about Jump Shot, the Kenny Sailor story.
Okay, so I had never heard of Kenny Sailor's before. I stumbled on this movie. I was actually just scrolling through Twitter, and I saw that Steph Curry, his production company, was heavily involved in producing this movie. And so I was like, you know what? Like last night, I was back and forth. There were a couple of different movies that I was considering. Like there were a couple of Netflix offerings, but none of them was really jumping out at me. And so I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give this one a shot. And so it's available for rental only for another couple of days, I think. So if you do want to see it, you should see it soon. And I got it through a website called altavod.com. So that's altavod.com. I don't know if it's available other places, but this was the primary spot that I was directed to rent it. It's a short movie, about 80 minutes. But it's basically the story of this guy, Kenny Sailors, who a considerable contingent of knowledgeable sports history people believe is essentially the inventor of the modern jump shot.
Interesting. Wow.
Yeah. Like, and it was just like, and you never really think about the jump shot being something that needed to be invented. but the early days of the game, it was all like two-handed set shot,
right?
And like everybody coming to a complete stop and like shooting from their chest and the whole thing. And so the idea that someone, one day was just like, you know what, I'm going to jump and shoot it. And that was like some sort of like mind-blowing, like paradigm-shifting moment. And for it to be a dude from like small town Wyoming who did it, because he grew up in a small town in Wyoming and attended the University of Wyoming, played basketball there, and was the star of the team that, another thing I didn't know, won the NCAA college basketball championship in 1943. Did you know the University of Wyoming had a title?
I did not know that. No.
So all this time, like there's these people, like he's doing stuff, like he's like 5'10", you know? So, and the whole reason he invented the shot in the first place is because his brother was 6'5" and wouldn't let him get a shot off. And they were playing as kids. And so he's like, you know what? I'll show you. And then, you know, the rest, as they say, is history. And so from there, he was the most outstanding player in the tournament in 1943. And then he, like everyone else at that time, went off to war for a couple of years, came back, played his last year at Wyoming, and then went to the NBA and played in the NBA for 5 years. Played for 5 years, specifically long enough to get his pension vested, and then quit because he didn't like being in cities. And so he basically, like, he was more than talented enough to stick around, but he's like, you know what? Me and my wife, we're gonna move to Alaska. And so they spent the next 35 years living in Alaska. He's like a coaching legend in the state of Alaska. Basically, was the sort of driving force behind getting girls basketball included in Alaskan schools. Like, just this incredible, incredible dude. Retired from teaching and coaching and then moved back to Laramie and was basically like a sort of a local legend, like this sort of iconic figure in and around the University of Wyoming until he passed away at the age of 95, like 2 years ago. Like,
wow.
I had just this incredible life. And so there's some archival footage and some photographs, not as much as, you know, you might think, because it was the 40s and B, it was Wyoming. So there's not a ton of bit of video of him playing. But what there is shared with the viewer, but also with the sort of talking head types talk about his contributions to the game. And here's the thing, and here's where it gets cool, because like you've got some real legends. Steph Curry obviously makes numerous appearances, you know, as a producer, he's going to be there. But Kevin Durant shows up a few times, Dirk Nowitzki, guys like Mark Price, other like iconic figures. Nancy Lieberman, the legendary women's basketball player and coach.
Yeah.
They're all talking about what the jump shot means. And then, you know, like they'll look at the footage or they'll watch the photo, the images. There's this iconic Life magazine photo that actually is accompanying my review on the Main Edge. So if you want to check it out, you should really see it because you've never. It's a rare 5'10" dude who can get that high off the floor. We'll put it that way. But all these people are looking at it, and it's like, and they're just like, yeah, that's a jump shot. And he was the first person to really do the whole, you know, come to a stop, jump straight up. Like there were other people who had played the game who had left the floor to shoot the basketball. Like he's not the first person to jump up in the air, but to actually do the jump shot as we recognize the jump shot. And it was just so fascinating because you just stop and you think about it. And it's like these people who have spent their entire lives, you know, passing the ball to move it up the court and shooting two-handed set shots that can only go in if you're wide open. And then to have this dude come in, this super fast guy who had a great handle. That was another thing that he was able to do. He dribbled as well as anybody. And then just, you know, dribbling around, then all of a sudden stop and pop. It's like, It must have been like seeing an alien playing the game, just something completely like different than you'd ever experienced before. And there's a ton of footage of him, the guy himself, of Kenny Sailors as an older guy, like in and around Wyoming and like talking to the people, and just a super charming, like super nice, like self-effacing guy where he's just like you know. Sort of begrudgingly enjoying the attention of that he's drawn for his innovation, but also kind of being bemused by the whole thing where it's just like, you know, like basically being like, I mean, I'm not the first dude to jump in the air and shoot a basketball, but also acknowledging that he definitely, you know, played a part in the evolution of the game. And that's true. But yeah, you just never think about the people who were the first to do something that has become, that's just so, like, you can't imagine the game of basketball without jump shots now. And to just think that there was someone back in the day who was the first person to do it. And so, like, movies like this, just it's like this forgotten bit of history. But, you know, that jump shot needs to be, like, alongside the, you know, the first guy to throw a forward pass in a football game. Or the first guy to throw a curveball in a baseball game. Like, just, like, literal, like just really paradigm-shifting things. If you're someone who loves basketball or sports history or just history in general, really, like it's a really breezy. The director is a guy named Jacob Hamilton. You know, it's short. It's like I said, it's about 80 minutes. Really quick watch, but it's really engaging. Like all the personalities are really great, and it's like it's rare to watch a movie that is just so full of things that. Even as I consider myself to be a fairly knowledgeable sports fan, like I didn't know any of this stuff. And to just have it presented in this wonderful, wonderfully well-rendered way, it was just a hoot. So yeah, if you're anyone out there who's a fan, check it out. I think, but I only think it's available for another couple of days. So,
what platform is it on again?
I rented it through a website called AltaVOD.com. So that's ALTA. VOD.com. It may be available in other spots. I couldn't find it on my Spectrum cable for VOD, so you might have to watch it online. But I got to tell you, like it's worth it.
God, that sounds great.
Yeah, no, I really dug it.
Excellent. Well, we'll look forward to that. Hoping to catch up with it, Alan. We thank you as always. A pleasure, my friend. Hope the rest of your week goes well, and let's do this again next Monday.
Hey, back at you, man. And where else am I going to be?
There you go. That's what we have working for us here. Fewer options for people means folks are even more happy to talk with us. We like that. Thanks, Al.
Bye-bye.
Alan Adams of the Main Edge here on Downtown.